Welcome to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
E-commerce Momentum, episode 004, Stephen Smotherman. Stephen's third book drops this week. It's called A Year in FBA, so it's great that we get to talk with him. And one thing you're going to find about Stephen is he is a foundational businessman. He really builds a strong foundation and then just keeps adding to it. And I just think it's so strong. He has a full-time a blog that he has called FullTimeFBA.com. And he talks about spending part-time hours to earn a full-time income. He talks about a business that he was able to help grow and they had real lot of success and it got pulled out from under him and his climb back up. And I think that that's a big piece because most people think one and done, it's over, can't go back. He's going to demonstrate that you can come back, as a matter of fact, and you can come back even stronger. He does credit Dan Miller's book, 48 Days to the Work You Love, which I think is just such a terrific book. So pay attention in this segment and just hear how you too can come back. All right, I'm really excited today to be talking with Stephen Smotherman. And Stephen is a full-time Amazon FBA seller, does a little bit of eBay, but he's also a coach. And what's really cool is he's just getting ready to release his third book. He's a husband, a great dad, and just a great guy. Hey, welcome, Stephen.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
You know, your story is really compelling. You know, the goal of this podcast is to help people get unstuck and to advance. You've really done a great job of that. And so why don't you just tell us a little bit about your story of how you got to where you are today and how you got involved in e-commerce selling?
Sure. Well, I think like a lot of people, I started dabbling in selling online on eBay. You know, I first, back in the late 90s, got addicted to buying stuff on eBay. And then all of a sudden, I had all this stuff, and I had no more money. And so I needed to get addicted to selling. So I started selling on eBay in the late 90s, and it was pretty much a hobby for, you know, about a decade until, you know, I was kind of put in a position where I needed to make a full-time income. So I ended up turning that hobby into a full-time job. And now I'm able to, you know, support my wife and my four boys selling on Amazon.
It's incredible. You started selling really young. I mean, you're a lot younger than I am, and I started in 2004. You really got started, I guess, back in college?
Yeah, I was in college and, you know, messing around online and discovered eBay and really enjoyed that. And that was back when you could leave feedback for people on eBay without even having a transaction connected between the two of you. It was the Wild West back then. But it was a lot of fun and made a little side money and set the foundation for being able to sell full time today.
You know, and that's a great, great segue into is you really have a foundation. You know, when I look at what you've been able to accomplish, right, in starting on eBay, especially back in those days when you could only put one picture and you had to do everything, all those crazy things, you've been able to really build that and build a system. One of the coolest things that about your blog that I really enjoy is the information that you give, the specifics. You know, here's how to lay out a processing center and stuff like that. So you've really been able to build a process. Is that a skill set that you were born with, you've had you grew up with, college taught you, or is it just your nature?
I think it's a little bit of everything combined. You know, when I was getting out of college, I went to graduate school to study to be a full-time minister. I enjoy teaching people. I worked with teenagers for about a decade doing youth ministry, and teaching just has always been a passion of mine. And so as I've, you know, gotten older, I've, you know, transitioned to different aspects of ministry right now. But, you know, I really enjoy selling online, and I was always on the Facebook groups, and people would be asking questions about Amazon FBA and selling online, and I always enjoyed answering those questions until my wife one day said, you know, you should think about doing a blog. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. But I decided to throw it out there in 2013, and it really exploded from there, and people would send me all sorts of questions, and their questions would turn into blog posts. And, you know, I just enjoy helping people I was thankful for those who would help me, the podcasts and the books and the people I would meet that would help me take my Amazon business to the next level and challenge me personally and, you know, my business life as well. And I want to be able to repay that by helping other people too.
That's just great. Herding cats, that's what it's like getting those teenagers to do anything, right? It's just, I heard somebody say herding squirrels. That's even a better vision, right? You know, now you sell mostly on Amazon,
right?
A little bit of eBay, but you also coach, and then you have a couple books. What's that all about?
Yeah, I've got a few e-books that are available. You know, I blog over at fulltimefba.com, and on the blog I talk about spending part-time hours to make a full-time income on Amazon. And there's a lot of people that do that, and there's a lot of people that want to do that. And so I came up with a handful of books to, you know, help them, you know, take their business to the next level. And I've got a book called The Reseller's Guide to Board Games, How to Turn Play Money into Real Money, which, you know, board games is a fun little niche that I've been passionate about for years just as a player and playing with my kids and family. And saw the reselling capabilities of it and the possibilities. And, you know, when you go to thrift stores and garage sales, there's board games everywhere. And I'm thinking, this is an untapped resource. And so I started looking into it, doing the research myself, and found enough stuff that I was able to, you know, put together a book to help other people get into that niche too, which is a really profitable niche. In fact, 6 of my 10 biggest sellers last year were board games. On Amazon. So it was it's been a lot of fun.
You know, it's one of those things you think about. You know, I saw somebody parting out board games because, you know, people lose pieces, or Monopoly is a great game where they retire a piece or two, right? And so how do you get that stuff, right? And so that's part of what your book deals with?
Right. It's everything from how to find brand new board games to, you know, sell on Amazon, but also how to take, you know, used or collectible board games, find the missing pieces. I give all the steps on how to complete the board game, so you've got a complete set. And I've also got information in the book on, you know, if you don't have a complete set, it might even be more profitable to part out the board game. You can make more selling the parts individually than you can as a whole for some board games. So I talk about that and those opportunities, and, you know, putting a little tiny token or certain colored dice or certain type of card set for board games in a little padded envelope, you know, it's cheap. It's not a whole lot of cost involved, and you can make some good money parting out board games. So I try to come at reselling board games from every angle, from new, collectible, selling on Amazon, selling on eBay, parting out pieces, selling sets as a whole, as many things as I can.
So that's really a great approach for somebody who's kind of stuck, right? They're trying to figure out what to do. If you take that approach pretty much to anything, right, where you could be successful selling candles or whatever, right? Maybe that's a bad example, but skiing or whatever your passion is, you could take that same approach.
Absolutely. When you know, you're passionate, everyone out there is passionate about something, and I can almost guarantee you there is a way to make money to be able to profit from those passions.
You know, now, are you selling on Etsy at all?
I've dabbled on Etsy a little bit, but I've not done very much on there. But I know that there are a lot of people doing really well on there.
Yeah, I know, like, for example, Scrabble pieces are one of those hot items that seems to end up on Etsy, and they make jewelry and all kinds of things. I just wondered if that was something you got into.
No.
Okay. Well, you know, when – now, I know how well you're doing, and you have coaching, and you have your books, and then you have what you're selling. Two things that I'm interested in. One is, first off, I'm sure it wasn't just, hey, buy this, sell this, and everything's nice and easy, rainbows and unicorns, right? I'm sure you've reached a challenge or two. So let's hear about the biggest challenge that you've run into so far, and then I want to talk a little bit about how you got past that challenge.
Sure, absolutely. Well, before I was selling on Amazon full time, my first wife and I had built up a 6-figure business selling jewelry, first on eBay and then on our own personal site, and we were able to build that up to, you know, do really well, and, you know, built that up back in, you know, 2008 or so. But come 2009, and I'll just, you know, put it this way, my first wife decided she didn't want to be married anymore. And, you know, I had to take a step back and reevaluate life and reevaluate my business opportunities. And so I stepped away from that business that I had helped build and had to completely start over from scratch. In 2009, I was, you know, a brand new single dad with four kids and trying to find a way to, you know, find income to be able to either, you know, pay for them to go into daycare because they, you know, the youngest was two. I needed to find either something that could pay for daycare for after school and preschool, or I wanted to have something that would be able to give me the type of income that would allow me to work at home so that I could stay home with them and not even need to do daycare. And that's when I came across Dan Miller's book, 48 Days to the Work You Love, and it completely rocked my world and opened my eyes to a whole nother world that's out there. And that's what helped me to stumble onto Amazon. You know, my hobby at the time was eBay, and Dan Miller talked in his book about following your passions and following after what drives you to be able to find a good source of income through that. And I thought, well, how can I make eBay a full-time job? And that's when I stumbled across Amazon, Chris Green's original retail arbitrage book, and really focused on all of my time, all of my energy, as much of my income that I had as possible on building an Amazon business. And so I kind of was making six figures 1 year, the next year making nothing and having to completely start over. So that was a huge struggle because I felt like I was a success. Then I felt like I was a complete failure and I had to start over. But, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe that God is in control, and I believe God is the answer and has delivered answers in my life. And he put Amazon in front of me on a platter, and I started to consume everything that was out there about it and really enjoyed and saw that this was something I was passionate about and was, you know, within about 6 months starting to make a full-time income to support me and my boys. And, you know, three or four years later, I met Rebecca, and we got married, and now she's on board with the Amazon business, and, you know, life is looking up, and, you know, I just, you know, praise God for that.
You got me a little choked up on that one. That's quite a struggle. All right, we're going to take a break real quick. When we come back, I do want to hear about that stage when that success, when you realize that, you know, you weren't a failure. And, yeah, you were undone with one thing, but you came back and you built it stronger than ever. So there's more to that story, and I want to get to that. But let's just take a quick break, okay?
Sounds good.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com. For more information, that's SellerEssentials.com. Hey, before we get started, let me just jump in and make a couple comments here. One of the first things that Stephen opens with is failure is an event, not a person. He credits somebody for it, but he remembers it coming from his dad no matter what. Failure is an event, not a person. And that really, hopefully, rings true for some people. He talks about letting go of certain aspects of his business. Again, that's hard for all of us to do. But he gets it from his wife. And they're true partners, and they work together, complement each other, and encourage each other. And again, if you don't have a partner or anybody working with you, reach out to a friend. It's a little difficult to explain this business to a friend. But there are Facebook groups and there are mastermind groups. He talks about accepting failure from others, because that's difficult, because he remembers he's failed a few times. So that's great advice. He talks about setting goals, but how many of us really do it? Physical goals, emotional goals, business goals. How many of us really do it? Not enough. And finally, he talks about a great acronym. I'm going to let him tell you all about it, but I just think it's so applicable. We should all print it out, put it right over our desk and just keep looking back at it. But I'm going to let him tell you about it. So let's get back to the podcast.
All right, we're back. And Stephen just told us a really kind of emotional story about struggles that he's had. And, you know, what I took away from that, Stephen, was that, you know, at first you thought you were a failure, and because you had success, a real success. I mean, more success, especially at that that date, you know, when e-commerce really wasn't that strong. And you've been able to build that so much stronger, and your faith has really gotten you through that. So, you know, now you're working with a wife, newer wife, and you're in this business together. And so how does that work? Was that part of the success? Was it the encouragement? What's taken you to be able to get back that confidence and just achieve other than just desire?
Well, I think a few things helped me turn everything around and be able to kind of get back on my feet and build things up to, you know, even better than they were before. And one of them is my dad would always remind me that failure is an event, not a person. And Zig Ziglar originally said that, but in my mind, my dad says it. So, because he said it all the time. Failure is an event, not a person. And it really recalibrated my mind and helped me to see things in the right way and gave me the perspective that I need to learn from my mistakes and move forward in my life and build on what is working and find other things that are working. And so having that right kind of perspective and then meeting my wife, Rebecca, who is just an incredible encouragement to me and support and an amazing business partner and life partner. And, you know, she's an amazing stepmom, and being able to work together, you know, it has really changed things for our business. You know, me being able to let go of certain aspects of the Amazon business and let her take care of some things. You know, my wife is a professional proofreader and editor, so which is really great on my blog because she makes me sound a lot better than I really am. And so, you know, we work together. And originally, you know, she went on a few garage sale routes with me when we first were dating. And, you know, at first she thought, you know, Stephen, this is, you know, real nice and everything, but this whole reselling thing is not for me. But a few years later, she is now doing almost as much sourcing as I am. She's doing more online arbitrage than I am. She's writing occasional blog posts for our blog, and we are a true team. We figured out each other's strengths and weaknesses. We complement each other really well, and it's been able to move our business forward so much that, you know, you were talking before about, you know, I've got two books out and a third book out coming. The second book was a book my wife and I wrote together called Married to Reselling, Balancing Family Life with Your Online Business. And it was a book written to help people who were either working with their spouse or hoping that their spouse would support them, or maybe, you know, maybe they're not working for their spouse, but they're just, you know, wanting their spouse to understand what it's like to be a reseller and those relational aspects. Because, you know, my wife and I, you know, obviously we live together, but we also work together. A lot of spouses get breaks during the day to do their, you know, my wife and I were always together. And so we had to work through that, the type of conflicts that could come from that, and see how to, you know, set up both of ourselves up for success with not only our business, but our family, because obviously our family is way more important. It's a higher priority than our business, and we always want to make sure we do that. So we decided to write a little book about it to help other people find success too, and it really helped us even hone our skills even more to support each other.
That skill of being able to step back and let somebody else come in to something that, let's face it, you know, that was your business and you were doing that.
Right.
And so there is a skill in the ability to step back and let somebody else in. Did you have that? Is that something you're still learning? Is that, you know, I'm sure the book addresses that, mm-hmm. but is that still something that you're working on, or is that just a very comfortable thing for you?
It was hard at first. You know, I obviously trust my wife, but when it comes to matters of business and money and, you know, all that type of area, I had to kind of rethink about the trust that I have in her and start to, start to get to a point where I am okay with her failing, because obviously I fail. I make mistakes. I buy the wrong things to resell sometimes. I price an item the wrong way sometimes, and she's going to do the same thing. So I was able to get to a point where I was okay with her mistakes. She was okay with my mistakes, but it took some time. But we got there, and we're a lot better now from it.
So I'm just going to rephrase that. So accept failure from others, because you got to remember that you also fail. And I think that's a great point because, I know when I make a mistake, and let's face it, we make lots of mistakes in this business. You know, you beat yourself up in this and that, and it just seems a lot of times, well, I did this right, I did this right, but others are going to make those mistakes, and we do forget that. So that's great. That's really a good piece of advice. Yeah. So that's a big strength. What's one of your bigger weaknesses right now that you struggle?
Well, it almost kind of goes along with that, not wanting to let go. You know, I really think that our like right now, my Amazon FBA business and blogging business is only my wife and I. And I really think that to get to the next level, we need to let go and let other people do certain things, whether it's a VA taking care of certain aspects or whether it's hiring help with packaging or other ways to outsource. And I think one of my biggest weaknesses is just not wanting to let go. And, right now we're in a comfortable position, but I know that for us to be able to grow and to meet some goals that we've set that, we'll have to let go and learn to trust, somebody else to take care of certain aspects of the business.
You know, there's another point that you make in there, too, is so you have two of you working together. You're setting goals. You said we set goals.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal, that together. And can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, sure. I mean, at the end of every year, my wife and I sit down and we talk about our goals. We talk about our goals for the year personally, physically, emotionally, goals for our business. And, we set down 10 really big goals for this year. And my wife and I once a month get together and do a little budget meeting where we kind of get together and just kind of talk about the numbers, not only personal budget numbers, but business budget numbers, just to see where we are, compare it with our goals. But we also go over our personal goals once a month, what we set back in late December, early January. And we just make sure we keep the conversation going, because when you set goals early on in late December or early January and you just kind of don't come back to them or revisit them, they get lost. And so we make sure that at least once a month we revisit these goals, see how we're doing, see if we need to readjust. About half of our goals we needed to readjust because life happens and things change. But that's okay. We readjust our expectations and our goals. But if we didn't set out, to make these big goals in the first place, we might not have even gotten far as we've already come. So it's a process, and we're okay with change. And we absolutely do this together.
So being flexible and communicating that's another key point. That's great.
Yes.
Now, I know you said you were kind of forced into this, right? Because you needed to earn an income.
Right.
But how do you get? Let's face it. I'm sure. Well, you already talked about some of your confidence was shaken. You had a marriage go bad. How do you get past that fear and just make that plunge and just take that plunge rather than going, I guess, Dan Miller's book really does talk about it. I'm familiar with it. But how did you get past that fear? Where did that come from?
Well, I guess, again, going back to my faith, knowing that, I have a deep faith and trust in God. And I feel like overall he's in control and that he is taking care of the details, and that, I pray for his wisdom to let me know what to do. I pray for his strength so I could actually follow through with the wisdom, and just being able to, make a plan and try to implement that plan as best as I can. I love to learn. So there's so many things out there that are, helpful with learning. And so, back when I was, completely unemployed and just dabbling around and figuring out what to do with eBay or Amazon or what, I purchased the Proven Amazon course and dived into that, and that really helped a lot. That plus Chris Green's book, Arbitrage, really helped set me up and give me the confidence, because, you know, I needed that knowledge. You know, I knew that God was going to take care of me, but the tools that, you know, I was able to use with that were the Proven Amazon course and Chris Green's book, and never looked back from there. I think I probably purchased almost anybody's course or product, you know, just to continue to learn and grow. And it's been a huge help for me.
What I like about that Proven Amazon course, too, is every time they update something, it's updated right in there. And that's really still useful, I'm sure, for you.
Absolutely. You know, I purchased the Proven Amazon course back in, I think, 2012. And, you know, ever since then, I mean, there's more that they've added since then than there was to begin with back in when I first purchased it. And so it just continues to pay for itself over and over again.
So that's one of those things that you would recommend. And, you know, so you're still paying attention. So you're still in that learning mode.
Always. I feel like if you stop learning, you're going to stop growing. And I think that, you know, that, and that's another reason I like to put out ebooks to help people, because I've got about 40 ideas for 40 books, because there's just so many other things out there that can help people. But yeah, if you stop learning, you're going to stop growing. And it's just always important to challenge yourself, to stretch yourself, and to try to take yourself to the next level, whatever that level is. You know, if you're at the beginning, you know, you want to start off with the basics. But as you go on, you start learning more about, you know, wholesale or private label and all of that stuff. And, you know, although I do try to balance it, because obviously there's so much out there that you could spend too much time learning. And so you want to make sure that you know, focus on what it is that you're learning and almost become a master at it before you move on to the next thing. Cause there are so many bright, shiny objects that could distract you from, you know, being able to grow your business and yourself personally. You know, I think about the acronym for focus, you know, was it follow one course until successful? And that's kind of how I live. I want to make sure I follow one course until successful. And when I'm successful at that, then I'll add a new aspect to my business. But I love learning and I always want to keep learning.
It's a great piece of advice, because there are too many shiny objects out there. Everybody wants to do everything, and it's, you know, it is private label, it is wholesale, it is retail arbitrage, it's online arbitrage, it's, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's great advice, and I think it comes back to that foundation that you built way back on eBay. When you were forced to learn how to do everything, you had a nice, strong, fundamental foundation to go back to. So I think that's really key for new sellers, is to build a foundation, as you're saying, in one area, learn it, master it, then move to the next one. I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
So your personal habits, boy, it just sounds like you've really got it. So you're planning, you're studying, you're learning, you're growing. What are some of the internet tools that you're using to help you in some of that, if any?
Well, I mean, with the whole reselling aspect of it, I cannot live without a Camel website. I love that website. I love dissecting it. I love reading the graphs and the charts and trying to predict the future based on the past. And it's kind of fun for me. And so I love doing camelcamelcamel.com. And I think it's a clever name for, you know, like the humps of the camel and how that looks like with the graphs. And so I really enjoy Camel. And then the Profit Bandit app is a tool that I use almost daily while I'm outsourcing. And, you know, I can't live without either one of those.
That's great. And obviously you're reading a lot of books. We've talked about a lot of them. I definitely heard a little Dave Ramsey meeting of the monthly meeting. That's definitely a little Dave Ramsey in there. And you talked about Dan Miller. Any other podcasts or books that you're listening to or reading?
Yeah, I'm listening all the time, whether I'm outsourcing or I'm out running. I'm listening to podcasts all the time. Some of my favorite are Entrepreneur on Fire by John Lee Dumas. Just hearing the success stories of other people, you know, even if they're not in the reselling or blogging world, which is the world that I live in most of the time, you can still pick up so many aspects of, you know, quality aspects of success and how they've been able to find success and stories of being able to overcome trials and tribulations to be able to get to where they want to go. I love Entrepreneur on Fire. I also like Smart Passive Income by Pat Flynn. Just so many different ideas on how to grow the blog and everything. And then some other books that I've been reading, my wife just finished reading Online Arbitrage by Chris Green. I've just started it. She does most of our online arbitrage stuff, but I also want to make sure that I know and understand everything. And that's just an incredible resource. And then the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller, has really helped me learn how to focus a lot better. We've talked a lot about focus on this interview, but that book has really helped me even more focus, even more, I'm trying to think of the right word, even more specifically than even before when I was thinking I was focusing on something. You can even take it up another notch.
That's great. And I will have links to all these in the podcast, so you don't have to write them down. Okay, so we're getting to the end of the interview here, and I'm really looking to help people move forward, right? That's really the goal of this podcast, is to say, hey, here's something you can do. So can you give me a meaningful process improvement, something that somebody can take and put into action tomorrow that they could move their business, their blog, their e-commerce site forward in a meaningful way?
Absolutely, and I think we touched on it a little bit before, was just the whole aspect of focus and the acronym, Follow One Course Until Successful. I really believe that a lot of us are distracted by learning new things and can spend way too much time learning things, a little bit of here, a little bit there, a little bit here, and we don't ever actually have the time or a plan in place to implement any of these ideas. And so we end up pretty much getting stuck. And so I think one of the best ways to get unstuck is to really focus on one thing. I'm subscribed to dozens of email lists, and my inbox sometimes can get really crazy with all of the stuff that's coming in it. And so I set up folders in my inbox there's a folder just for online arbitrage. There's a folder just for blogging tips. There's a folder just for budgeting tips. I've probably got about 15 or 20 different folders within my email, so that when something comes in, I don't read through it. I move it to the folder. And then once a month, I pick a folder and I try to read as much as I can in that folder on that topic and just drench myself in all the information at once, so that I could begin to implement it all at once. Because, if I just read this email about private labeling this hour, and then 2 hours later I'm reading this email about wholesale, I don't end up doing anything with it. But if I, segment it and then take a time later to focus on it, I'm really able to find success and actually put things into practice to be able to build up my business.
It is such great advice. So I hope people get that. Just focus, focus, focus. Follow one course until successful. I'm going to start using that. Never heard it before, actually. So that's really great.
I'm not going to lie and say I made it up, but,
Well, it's good. Hey, use it. Stephen, how can our listeners find out more about you, and how can they follow you?
Well, I, blog at least once a week on fulltimefba.com. People can follow me on Twitter at fulltimefba. And I'm also on Facebook at, I think it's Facebook. If you just search fulltimefba on Facebook, you will, you'll find my page and look me up.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. Let's face it, you got four boys, you got a busy life. And we just really appreciate you taking the time. I think people are really going to be able to advance with this information. Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.